Again, I'm Shani. I'm an addict. So earlier today, I was asked to introduce our speaker tonight, and you might have noticed I was a little busy, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about what I was going to say about Cindy G. What I can tell you about Cindy G is that I've known her for about 10 years. I remember the first time that I met her. We were sponsee sisters, but I didn't know that at the time. My sponsor at the time said, hey, we're going to take a little trip down to Stanton because this lady named Cindy is celebrating. I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I rode on down to Cindy's celebration in Stanton, and she gave me the biggest hug. I will never forget that hug. And she made me feel welcome. And I have referred to her as Sissy ever since. Cindy and I worked together on the Brand Planning Committee. Cindy and I probably talk almost as much as me and my sponsor talk, at least once or twice a week, sometimes daily. I lean on Cindy and she leans on me. She means the world to me. She's the most inquisitive person I've ever met. She's always hungry to learn more and to learn more about how to apply the principles of Narcotics Anonymous in her life. I admire her very much, and it's an honor to introduce to you Cindy G. I'm an addict. Cindy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullshit.
You get selective hearing, I have it. Wow.
Love you.
I love each and every one of y'all. Y'all saved my life. More importantly, you gave me a life that's way more than I could ever dreamed of for myself.
We love you!
Love you. My clean date is April Day, 2003. Yeah. Who's going to be the fool in this? Is it going to be me for picking up? Is it going to be the people that don't believe in me and don't support me? And doesn't know me, I'm a pretty stubborn, hard-headed bitch.
And,
yeah, no matter what, I don't pick up. I can't tell you much about childhood stuff or anything like that because I just simply don't remember. My sister, who passed away this past Easter, and today happens to have been what would have been her 60th birthday. Imagine that. She supported me in my recovery, and I'm sitting here on what would have been her birthday and sharing with you guys. Love you too. I have been through a lot of shit in my recovery that if it hadn't been for the people that are around me supporting me and loving me through it, me kicking and screaming and bitching and whining and trying to push people away and them not giving up because sometimes it's just not that easy. And that's why it's a we program. I can't do this alone. I grew up a preacher's daughter. Yay! In between being a drunk and being a preacher and being a drunk and being a preacher and, yeah, the usual abuse stuff. And we only had the verbal abuse and emotional and mental abuse when he was a preacher.
Yeah. Hell and damnation. And when he was a drunk, that's when the physical stuff come in. That's where I learned that anger is a good thing. It's a real good thing. I get angry enough, everything goes into slow motion for me, and I lose control over everything around me. So therefore, in my mind, I'm not responsible for my actions. And it came in handy dealing with the abusive father. So I can't share anything other than coping skills that I had coming up. And we all know about coping skills, the abusive behaviors that we've gone through and we were taught. We try to come through and come above and do better today. So the struggles that I've had have been trying to learn to be a better person. And it's been difficult at times. I found out when I was going through outside issue for you guys, you know, that are kind of funny about people talking about stuff like that. So here it comes. I went to drug treatment program. And I was sitting in group therapy, and the girl was sharing about her abuse and stuff, and I started remembering that I was sitting on somebody's lap on a lawnmower, and because there are younger children here, I won't go through details, but I remembered up to the man's collar of his shirt, and the counselor stopped me. I said, this is not the situation that you want to be finishing this in. If you'd like to finish this memory, we'll do it in private. Or you don't have to do it at all. I chose not to do it at all. I was trying to get clean. What did I need? Something else coming up. It was already a hard enough time going on then. During my treatment program, I was like the oddball in there. Just like it was in school, I was the oddball. You know, I didn't fit in anywhere. I didn't fit in with the cool kids. I didn't fit in with the nerds. I didn't fit in anywhere. So here it was. Hooked up with this other girl who was a big girl. We were the ones that walked down the middle of the hall, and you got out of our way. Yep, I was a bully. So, come to find out, the reason why I didn't fit in the treatment program I was in is because I was the only one that was clean during that class. That whole treatment. They were passing the urinalysis. I don't know how, but at the end of that, they all told me, we didn't want anything to do with you because you weren't using. And that's okay. I wasn't there to make friends anyway. I was desperate to get clean. And that was my safety net. Every time I tried to quit, you know, I quit doing the strong stuff somewhere around October. I quit drinking in January. Yeah, I had two anniversaries when I first got clean. One in the other program, one in this one. Yay, me! And then the love of my wife that I had with me for 21 years, I finally said goodbye to it. When I was standing in my mom's kitchen, they were away, and I was passing it to my baby brother that my mom had when I was 16 years old, and my daughter. in my mom's kitchen. My mom was the love of my life, my best friend. And as I was reaching for it, for my turn, it clicked in my head, like, oh my God, what am I doing? Look where I've come to. So, I was on probation. Yep, I'm another one, I got a felony. And I went to my probation officer and gave her an honest urine analysis. And stood there, had leaned up against the counter, had my arms folded, and she says, you're positive for this and you're positive for that. And I'm like, yep. She says, how long you been using? I said, the whole time. She says, are you seriously telling me? I said, yep. You going to lock me up now? Because I thought, you know, I go in, I ain't going to do no favors. Ain't nobody going to put no money on my books, so I'm not going to be able to get no dope. She says, nope, we're going to send you to treatment. Like, that shit ain't going to work. But it worked. Part of it. It was my safety net. Well, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, the first meeting was everybody was laughing and cutting up and carrying on, and I'm like, yeah, they're getting high. I gotta come early for the next meeting. Only one way you can laugh like that. I ain't laughed like that in a long time. And I'm telling you, I was getting the real good shit, too. I was, the older people been around, growing that shit for a long time. So they laughing like that, they getting better shit than what I used to get. So, I broke down and started crying my very first meeting. I give me a white tag. Not really knowing what I was getting into. But I saw, God was all in this writings and stuff like that. And I'm like, this ain't gonna work. I'm a preacher's daughter. Drunk daughter, but preacher's daughter. That God stuff don't work with me. You can threaten me with hell all you want to, all day long, 24/7. It ain't going to work. World was supposed to done end a long time ago, several times ago. Still waiting. So, somebody at that meeting gave me a hug. Her name was Smiley. And I was uncomfortable, but I was intrigued. Couldn't quite figure it out. There's some touchy-feely people. Are they hugging on people? A couple females kissing on each other? What the hell is going on here? Guys all hugging on each other? Come and find guys taking punches to each other and shoulder goes back a little bit and stuff. But what the hell? I got my safety net there. I gotta go to aftercare one day a week. So I'll keep going. And I go home living with mommy and daddy. 40-some years old, got my kid in tow. Oh yeah, guess what? Her 16-year-old butt, she gonna get clean too, because you gotta do what I tell you to do till you're 18 years old. Come on. white tea bag, or you could. So I went back. Same thing, cried like a baby. I swear, I think I cried for a freaking year. But when I left from there, I had a feeling that I wasn't quite sure what it was there for a long time. I just knew that they wanted me to be there. And the only time that I really felt that before was before anybody got the answer whether I was holding anything or not. Or whether they were going to be able to bed down with me or not. And I couldn't understand why these people were like this. One night I was getting ready to walk out the door to go to a meeting. My dad started raising Cain, and he was just... And people ain't doing nothing but brainwashing you. That's all they doing. My feeble little 5 foot mama stood up, pointed her finger at him and said, "Melvin, you shut up. Whatever they're doing is working. Now you just sit there and shut up." Damn, I'm getting out of here. Mama about ready to roll his ass. I never heard her talk to him like that, ever. The next day I talked to my mom and I'm like, "I really appreciate you standing up for me because this does seem like it's helping." Now, I was able to call one, maybe two people that was on that list that they gave me. But I didn't have the courage to call many of them. So when Mom came and we were talking about it, I happened to be laying on my bed and reading the basic text. And she asked me, she says, "What's that? A book you got to study or something?" Well, Mama, this tells me about my disease. Disease? What are you talking about? Addiction is a disease. Alcoholism is a disease, and addiction is a disease. She says, "Oh." So I flipped it over to Who is an Addict, and I gave it to her to read. And she read that and she said, "Oh, okay." She went to hand it back to me. And I flipped it over to the stories in the back. And I said, "Here, Mom, this is about some other people. If you want to read this, you can read this. Just bring it back to me when you're done." And she took it with her and she read it. My mom never drank, smoked a cigarette, anything, her whole life. And she wanted to know about what was going on with me. She came back and she was like, "Those poor people." I said, "Did you read it to the end where they found what's called recovery?" She's, "Yeah." "No, they're part of a family of people." No, I didn't say family. "They're part of the NA where everybody helps everybody." I'm long-winded. I gotta check. And, she told me, she says, "Well, don't you worry about your daddy. I'll take care of him. This is the little woman that never stood up to him for anything. And she was going to take care of him for me. My mom passed away July 23rd, 2012. When I got the word that she was getting ready to go. This is after 4 years of chemo. I was here. I hadn't looked down at my phone, and it was my sister called me. I got up and I rushed to this side of the stage. There was a crowd of women that ran to this side of the stage with me and circled me. When my mama was passing, my house was full of people from NA. See, I let all of them know that this was on my reservation list. I didn't know I was going to be able to make it through losing my mom clean, because my mom was my main reason for staying clean. She had to be proud of me. The day that my mom told me, it was a little bit after she found out she had cancer, I told her, I said, "Mom, why don't you ask about me anymore, what I'm doing or what's going on?" She says, "Honey, I don't worry about you anymore." I didn't know how to take that at first. And it's like she didn't have anything to worry about because I was okay. I have you guys taking care of me. My husband lost his dad the February before I lost my mom. We had you guys. His dad was his best friend. Recently, my husband lost his sponsor. Now see, when he got this man as a sponsor, I tested him. Because the sponsor he had before, that man and my sponsor talked about us. You don't do that. My shit is my shit, and it's none of his business. His shit is his shit, and it's none of my business. My program, his program, and there's a line. So when he asked this little man, the man that you saw in the motorized wheelchair, and sometimes he had the walker, he passed away a few months ago. We had people in the program. He had no family, no blood family. People in the program took care of him. We had a memorial service for him. And we're going to have another one when we have our Jump in the Lake festivities later on this year. And then we lost another good guy who's also my cousin. Y'all might know him, Fat Man. family has been there for us. But the one that hurts the most right now is losing my sister Easter. And I had no warning. I had to call two of her kids after I got the initial phone call to make sure she was gone. And I felt completely, totally alone. And I started reaching out. I've been through some really crappy stuff in my recovery. Nope, don't work program perfect. Don't do the steps perfect. Well, I understand it's not a perfect way to do them. I don't get to attend a bunch of meetings because of my health. I recently changed sponsors because I ain't been doing shit. I'm like, I can't stay like this. I have health issues and I'm scared of picking up. It's too easy. I got pains. Give me something for my pains. I know there's people in the program that can relate to that. I have someone in my own area that I'm sure that if I asked him to, he'd be calling me every day. Don't you think about getting that. Don't you think about getting that. So I've changed sponsors. Got to get out of this comfort. Automatically, I get four assignments. See, I've been watching this chick for a while. I've been watching her post, watching her activity. I watch the way she speaks. I look at her pictures. Everything about her that she's allowed me to be exposed to, I've been looking at. My life is in her hands. I don't take that lightly. Number one on this assignment list, goals and aspirations. Even something as silly as if I ever wanted to be a fairy and what I would want to do. It made me cry. I have had so many things taken away from me over the last 3 years. I hadn't even thought about getting anything really back other than getting off of an oxygen tank, losing some weight, getting off of some of my medicine. I want to get my mobility back. None of that was on the list so far. I want to fly. I want to parachute out of a plane.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but there's a little key to that. My back says, I bet you won't. Somebody else told me the first time you go out, that's you're attached to somebody else. So I just got to get somebody that's going to be nice and big and strong and brave to take me out with them. I want a bungee jump too, but I don't think it's a good idea either. But seriously, I'll find a way to fly. Because I've always wanted to fly. If I can't physically do it, I'm going to find a way to spiritually do it. I won't be stopped. I won't pick up, no matter what. I know this is true because I have people in my life that guarantee that for me. I have people like Shaney that remind me on a regular basis, you're too strong for this shit. Sissy, I know you better than that. I hope somebody got something out of this. Because I know I did. I needed to be reminded. Then, I'm an addict. Happens to be named Cindy. Thanks.